The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Broadcasting from Northern California for two decades, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here with us on this, I guess it's Christmas weekend.
Yeah, day after Christmas.
After Christmas. And anyway, both myself and my co-host, we are both financial advisors. We spend our Monday through Friday meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial future. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And we talk about all things financial, and glad you are with us this weekend. If you'd like, if you've got a question for us, like to be part of the program, you can always call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON.
Or moneymatters.com. You can type
you
in
go
a
to
message there.
And it's, the, you know, it's funny, after Christmas, most of us are probably feeling a little poorer than we did prior to Christmas.
Yes.
And we know the credit card bills are going to come to pay for all the gifts that,
yes, but it was nice. It was nice having the my kids, two children home from college. It was nice spending time with them. As always, I'm sure if they were here year round, it wouldn't be quite as nice at Christmas. But when they come back, when they come back, it's nice.
Yeah, and families. Anyway, we're not going to spend too much time at Christmas
because everyone had their own.
Everyone did have their own, and we are heading up to the new year. We're not going to talk about much strategy because there's not too many days, but if there's something that you've been trying to do from a financial standpoint, you do have a couple days left.
You do, a few.
You may or may not, depending if you have to liquidate something, it may or may not. But there's probably still time for a Roth conversion if you're trying to trigger that.
Charitable contributions.
Clearly time for charitable contributions. Some things it's supposed to, if you want to pay your state income taxes, there's definitely time to do that, which I recently did. Pay my state income taxes, so you get it for the 2015.
You get the deduction.
Yep.
And if you need to set up a company savings plan, it needs to be set up by 12/31. You don't need to fund it.
Yeah, not for SEP IRAs, but if you want to do a KEO or a profit sharing plan or a solo K, 401k, they need to be set up prior to December 31st. Outside of that, it's kind of not a lot.
There's not much.
And hopefully you've done your planning a little earlier than just. But, you know, this is the time of year, though. We're moving into the first of the year. Time to start thinking about what are some things you might need to be considering in the beginning part of the year, doing some year-end goals.
401k
and I know for
contributions.
For myself, I've had actually my list for 4 months now to review my my own estate plan, my living trust. It's been about 10 years since I've looked at it. And I glanced at it the other day and I thought, I probably want to make some changes here or there.
You probably feel a little bit differently than you did.
Yeah. That's normal for all of us, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of the things, and I had it down to get done before the year is out, and I haven't got it down, so it's going to be on my. So we all have some things, and maybe you're looking at retirement in the next couple of years. So often we see people wait until right before they retire to come and talk to an advisor.
Right. I mean, when I say right, I've seen it as little as 4 hours.
So when he retired, 3 o'clock.
truly, in a downsizing situation, I need to make up my mind in 4 hours.
I remember somebody years ago had accepted a retirement offer, was off payroll. He had to make a decision within 60 days of being off payroll for where his life savings was going to be transferred. And he came in, I think it was day 59.
Yes. So you understand. Yes. So one of the things to look at is part of the New Year's resolution. If you're people that, if you like to make lists, as I do, I'm a list guy. If I don't put it on the list, it doesn't get done. One is to examine your 401k allocations. Make sure that they're appropriate, that your 401k is allocated the way it should be. And in fact, we have a stress test on our website, moneymatters.com, where we can actually portfolio stress test it.
Yeah, you can. And actually on our website, if you haven't been to Money Matters, we've got on there a report. This is actually a great report that Vanguard did that looked at the value of a financial advisor. Well, we think it's great because we're financial advisors.
Yes. But Vanguard,
self-serving.
Think about it. But Vanguard distributes directly, and they distribute through financial advisors.
Correct. They serve those that don't want an advisor or need an advisor, and a large chunk of the money that they manage is actually directed through financial advisors like ourselves.
Registered investment advisors.
Yes, we have a lot of assets that go to that are managed by Vanguard or their index
fund. And it's a
fine
company.
Anyway, they've got a great report on that. A big study on the value of a financial advisor, and it breaks it down into a large part is really kind of the behavioral finance side of things, helping people from making mistakes that they can't recover from.
Big mistakes.
That's why I think you see is people, oftentimes people are confident and comfortable doing things on their own. They invest their 401k by themselves. They picked out some funds over the years. And suddenly they're about to ready to retire. And they think, I could afford a mistake when I was 38. Now that I'm 58.
A little different.
Don't know if I want to make, kind of be hanging out there. So go to moneymatters.com if you haven't in a while. And check out the report from Vanguard. And I think
you can download it. It's a pretty easy read. But the idea behind it is, if you're thinking, do I need an advisor? Does it make sense to hire an advisor? And it'll actually give you a couple things. While you're there, if you're thinking of hiring an advisor, I would encourage you to watch the webinar, Liars, Levies, and Lawsuits, the things your financial advisor may not want you to know.
Matter of fact, Pat, let's be very self-serving as we're at it. If you want to hire an advisor, you need to consider Hans McLean first.
Well, I think that's, yes, please. Anyway. Yes, please. We would love to be in the running for your business, yeah. If you want to hire an advisor.
And, we've been doing this program. Pat, I remember it was 20 years ago you interviewed Santa.
Holy smokes.
I'm reminding you of some of the bad things. That wasn't one, maybe not our highlight shows.
I hope we don't have that tape.
Because my daughter was born.
I interviewed Santa about his financial situation. It was the first Christmas we ever did.
My daughter
daughter was being born that day.
Yeah, the
24th.
She was born on the 24th. So I couldn't be there. And you had interviewed Santa.
on his financial situation.
Santa was...
Played by Lou Gusecki.
Yeah, pretending he was Santa Claus. Anyway, enough
of that. No, it wasn't the real Santa, in case they were curious. Enough of that. It wasn't the real Santa.
We got him in the studio.
All right.
Enough of that stuff.
Enough of that. Let's take a call.
We're talking with Bob in Sacramento. Bob, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. Appreciate your show.
Thank you, sir.
Wonder if you'd...
Bob, real quick here. You should be on the radio. You've got quite the radio, quite the voice. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, as a matter of fact, I spent a few years in broadcasting when I was in college, but that was eons ago. So
got it.
I wonder if you'd say a few words about REITs, the pros, the cons, the advantages and disadvantages, what they are, and is this a good time to be investing in a vehicle like that?
Perfect.
Thank you for the question.
We're going to back up a little on this too. So a REIT is a real estate investment trust, and a REIT is a special type of corporation that has some unique tax advantages that other corporations do not have. And essentially, the tax advantage that has most companies deal with, they have to pay their own income taxes. And then when they pay a dividend to the shareholders have to include that taxable income. So it's double taxation. With REITs, as long as a real estate investment trust has the majority of their investments in real estate or real estate in type investments, and they pass through, I believe it's either 90 or 95% of their earnings to their shareholders, the income is not taxed to the company. It's only taxed to the shareholders. So it does not have the double taxation. So it's a great, from a corporate structure, when you look at C Corp, S Corp, LLC, REIT, REIT can be a very attractive structure for holding.
From a tax standpoint.
From a tax standpoint.
And remember, there's two types of REITs, too. There's traded REITs, which you can buy on a stock exchange, just like you could buy Apple or Amazon or Chevron stock. And there's non-traded, which are typically sold through brokers. And there's a huge difference between the two.
Yeah, and so a REIT, for example, Bob, if you said, well, I would like to own some apartment buildings. I certainly don't want to have the direct ownership myself, nor do I have the capital. You can go out and buy a REIT that might specialize in apartments or a REIT that specializes in a variety of different things, shopping malls or whatever. So you can go out and invest these, and you can go buy just on the stock exchange, or you can buy a mutual fund that invests in a variety of different things to have diversification.
Which we actually are not opposed to at all.
No, and we use periodic. We've used a lot over the years, and ETFs, which are indexes, essentially of the REITs, and so they can be a great piece of one's portfolio. The concern we have and the danger with these is that what Pat mentioned. There's a type of REIT that are sold through brokers that are illiquid.
They're non-traded, which means you buy it.
You own it.
You don't know what it's worth. They're going to send you a statement where they guess what it's worth. But because it's not traded on an exchange, You have no idea what it's worth because no one, there's no counterparty offering to buy it.
Not only that, if you can't really sell it, it's a limited partnership. You become a partner with, as a limited partner.
So there's two things wrong. One, you bought it. It's got high commissions, which comes right out of your pocket. So they typically sell for $10 a share. The cost of distribution is about a dollar of that. So even though it doesn't reflect its real price, the day you buy it, the value's already been reduced by about 10%. And they're not required to reflect the real price for, what is it, 18 months after they quit issuing it. It's funky.
You hear them pitched by brokers because they pay high commissions. They could pay commissions of 7%, 8%, even higher to a broker who sells these. So
REITs are not bad. Non-traded REITs are terrible.
We don't see the benefit of them.
Because the alternative is right there. The difference is you buy a non-traded REIT, here's the benefit. You get to deal with a broker that is cramming this garbage down your throat. Yeah. You buy a traded REIT, you don't have to.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, it does.
And remember, when you're buying yield on these things, that yield is not guaranteed, right? Mm-hmm. So we see what they're now calling it is either liquid alts or alternatives. And the reason they're attractive right now is people are actually searching for yield.
Right.
That
right.
yield is not guaranteed, right? And it right. is subject to the market forces just like anything else.
Right, right, right.
All righty?
Right. A friend of mine did pretty well on them years and years ago, but I had no idea where they stood today. Appreciate your program.
All right. Appreciate
the thing about REITs, they can be good and they can be bad, just like... I mean,
everything
a stock.
Else.
What do you think of stocks? Well, I mean, stocks is a way you can own a company. It's a way a company has ownership spread to the public, and there's an exchange you can buy and sell. There are good companies that you can own the stock of. There's bad companies that you can own
there's
the stock
bad
of.
Companies that become good companies.
Well, you wouldn't want to invest in a company that you couldn't trade. Can you imagine? Well, we've got two options for you, Pat. One is you can own the broad stock market index, S&P 500, through ETF.
And you know what it's worth
or
every
secondly,
minute of the day.
You can invest in a partnership where you can't get out for at least 5 or 6 years.
And you don't know the value of it.
And I hear them pitched that they're not correlated. Well, just because you don't know the price, just because you can't sell it, doesn't mean it's not correlated.
Yeah, it's like
you mean to tell me that in 2008 and 9 in the financial crisis, real estate did not fall in value?
That's crazy.
That's why I hear these people talk. I hear brokers talk like this. It's disingenuous, and it's borderline. It's just false. It's being
Say
dishonest.
It. Say it.
I think it's dishonest.
Say it.
I just did. Dishonest.
All right.
There's one broker I know of. He filed bankruptcy in 08 and 09, personal bankruptcy. And he's talking about you should use REITs because they're not correlated to protect you during the downtime. And I'm thinking, I mean, it's crazy to me. Anyway, I got
a
little hot on this stuff.
We're not huge fans of REITs. If we didn't like you, I wouldn't recommend them.
Now that you know, it's kind of bizarre. There's
non-traded REITs. Traded REITs, they have a place.
Absolutely.
We use them.
Yes.
In a mutual fund.
Yeah.
Traded REITs.
Yeah. That makes some sense at times.
Yeah.
And at times they don't make sense. We're going to take a quick break here. 1-888-2-HANSEN if you'd like to join the program. We do have a couple lines open. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. I like that new bumper music right there.
You like that band? What is that guy? He's a band with his name, his first name is his. Whatever. Why are we talking about this? It's irrelevant.
Who is it?
Dave Matthews Band, of course.
Yeah. I know some middle-aged women that actually follow that band around and go to a lot of his concerts.
What do you mean you know some middle-aged women that follow him around? Your wife?
No, not my wife. Middle-aged, between the ages of, like, middle-aged would be between the ages of 45 and 55. I guess that would be middle-aged. Middle, not ages, middle-aged women.
Not middle ages.
Middle-aged women that follow the Dave Matthews Band.
All right, we don't need to talk about that.
Okay.
Hanson McClain's Money Matters, we talk about financial matters. And if you'd like to join the program, if you got a question for us, love to take your questions. Still time to take calls. 888-2-HANSON is our main contact number, and that's 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON.
We will get you on the air.
Yeah, so let's talk with John. John, you're with Hanson McClain.
Hi, I am interested in your opinion on our first grandchild, and we would like to set up something, some type of a financial investment for the long term in addition to a 529 plan. My thought was to identify a specific purchase within our portfolio and note that that belongs to the grandchild, and it would be available for them sometime down the line, obviously with our approval.
Got it.
Is that a good idea, or does it?
Yes,
yes,
pretty much.
And
yeah. So what you're
pretty much good or stupid?
Well, no. Yeah, they're on the right thought process.
But so what you're saying is, hey, this is what I heard anyway. We're gonna take our existing portfolio and we're going to, in our mind and maybe in a trust document, designate a portion, a specific holding to this grandchild. But you're gonna maintain complete control over that in case at some point in time either you need it yourself or you don't want to give it to the child. Is that what you're thinking?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, but I think instead of having a specific holding, John, you might be better off having a certain account. Just because you want some diversification. I mean, for example, if it was 10 years ago and you had a couple grandkids, and for one you bought AOL stock, and the other you bought Google stock, they would have such different outcomes that one would receive a ton of money, the other would receive next to nothing.
How much money are you talking about, John?
Well, I think we would start off with maybe $1,000, and then holidays and birthdays and so forth, we would keep adding to it. And I wasn't specifically looking at a single stock.
Got it.
But more like the broad market or the
perfect
S&P 500.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Yep. That's a great way to handle it. And what you could do is, you, for example, you buy some no-load fund, put $1,000 in.
Hold it right at the company. Hold it at the company.
And then you would want to designate in your will or trust that these dollars are to go
to
your...
You wouldn't even have to do that. You could put a TOD with transfer on death with the child's name.
How old's your grandchild?
8 months.
Well, and how old are you?
I'm 69.
Okay. The challenge is, what you don't want to have happen is to have your grandchild inherit a bunch of money when they're a minor or on their 18th birthday suddenly come into.
Yeah.
Now, $1,000 isn't a lot of money, but you keep adding to it and over the years. And most kids at that stage are more interested in car catalogs than college catalogs. And so you don't want them on their 18th birthday. So that's where you would want to have your trust own it and just designate in there that I want these assets to go to.
Yeah.
My grandchild.
And I like the idea of buying the total market.
I do too.
I would go there.
You've got a long time for this.
Yeah, I'd buy the total market. And I don't know what the account minimums are at some of these mutual fund companies. Is it 1,000? I have no idea.
Some are a little higher than that.
I think they're like 20.
I can't just buy that through my existing brokerage account?
You certainly can, and make sure the dividends are reinvested back into that particular holding if that's what you want to do.
The challenge you'll have if it's in your existing brokerage account, it does make it a little more complicated.
You can do that. It's easy.
Yeah, but... It's almost easier to put a certain percentage of your estate to go to the grandchild because... Look, here's the challenge. Your grandchild's a baby. Odds are, statistically, you'll be around till the grandchild graduates high school and goes to college. But if something happens, let's say you buy that mutual fund for the grandchild today. Maybe the mutual fund company merges with another fund at some point in time. We've seen it. Well, we're looking at a trust. Someone passes away.
Oh, yeah, and there's nothing in it.
That asset's no longer there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they listed a certain asset or said, I want CD from bank account XYZ.
Why listen to the trust? I think what you imagine is this is a sinking pot to give to the child while you're alive, correct, John?
Well, and even if both my wife and I were to die, our estate would go to our two kids.
And tell me about...
Of course, this is...
Are your kids responsible? Are your children responsible?
Oh, yeah.
What I would do is I would not have this fund in your overall brokerage account. I would set up a separate account for it.
I would as well.
Okay.
Hold it right at the mutual fund company.
Mutual fund or ETF, does it matter?
With this small amount, you want to use a mutual fund because otherwise with an ETF, you're going to have to buy it like you buy a stock. It's going to be a transaction cost. It's going to be... If you want to add to this small amount, you're much better off with just a good no-load fund.
Yeah, so go find one of the large complexes that sells the total market and figure out what their account minimums are.
And you want a nice low-cost one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, John.
It.
Yeah, appreciate you calling. Okay, and the thing about the 529 plans, and I know we think we had a call earlier in the program, when a grandparent owns a 529 plan or a parent... It's when the money is distributed from that 529 plan that could have an impact on financial aid, as opposed to...
The way he's holding it.
And a grandparent could just pay the tuition directly, and it's unlimited amount you can pay.
You just did it with one of my clients.
You just did it?
One of my clients, we just recommended they do it.
They do what?
Pay the tuition directly.
Because it's that...
Because he was gifting to the maximum to his children... He didn't want to give to his grandchildren, but it was a way to, when you pay for tuition directly, it has nothing to do with the gift.
Yeah. And so if you've got grandkids that you're helping out with college, oftentimes it's best just to pay the dollars directly to the financial institution.
Actually, this wasn't even college. We were paying for high school. It was a private high school. It's any tuition. It doesn't have to be just college.
Private high school. This kid was born in the right family. He's got grandparents already gifting the maximum to him. He's in high school.
No, his grandparents were gifting the maximum to their children. They weren't gifting to the grandchild, but they were paying the tuition of the grandchild. And yes, the child was born in the right family. He had the forethought to figure that out.
my friend's kid turned 16, and they bought this really nice car. I'm like, wow, you got your kid a nice car. And he's, oh, no, she paid for it with her own money.
Well,
because she had been working since 4? I mean, you know. I said, what do you mean her own money? What 16-year-old has money? I mean, if you have
Oh, you'll be invited over often, Scott.
You know, he's a good friend of mine, listens to the show, too.
Well, he was.
Huh? I teased him then, too. I laughed at him then, too. What do you mean the kid's been saving? The kid's own money. What 16-year-old has
money? You must
money.
Have an
you
awful...
Have money you have money from family, which is good.
You must have an incredible amount of friends just to lose them like that, right? In their face and on the air. You must have like dozens of them. I don't have that luxury.
I did see if he wanted to go bicycle riding this morning early, and he did not want to go, so maybe...
I don't have that luxury of ridiculing my friends on radio. I've not as many as you.
I don't know how we got on this topic again.
Okay.
Here it is.
Okay, let's do you want?
You're like, hey, before we go to the break, I want to make note of our website, moneymatters.com. We put a lot of work in this last...
Not us. Our firm. You're taking credit for everything. We. Yeah, Scott and I were up programming late last night.
We provide some direction, content. I write for the thing and all that.
All right.
So
good work.
Thank you, Mr. McLean. Moneymatters.com. If you haven't been to moneymatters.com, we encourage you to go there because while you're there, there's lots of good information. We've got videos on things, and it's just a good educational tool. Of course, you can also visit our Hanson McLean website at hansonmclean.com to learn more about what Hanson McLean does. But the good thing about the Money Matters website, it's really designed for education and for you to
learn things
and all that sort of stuff.
So, videos.
We got to take a quick break. We still have time to take a couple calls. 888-2-HANSON is the number. That's HANSON. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Hanson McLean's Money Matters, talking about finances on the weekends.
Last half of the show.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess it depends on your perspective.
It depends on the listener.
I'm hoping there's not too many listeners that go, oh, can we just get through this program? crying out loud.
Like we're the only choice? Like they can't turn the channel? I mean, you've seen me work a radio.
I've never listened to a call through its entirety. Almost never. I mean, not a call, a song. I'm in the car. I cannot listen to a song in its entirety. I get about 45 seconds worth, and I'm on to the next.
You do?
It drives my wife crazy.
I like
my car. I've got, it's nice. When I get a car, one of my main things I look at is how easy is it to change the station. Because if I got to stretch my arm way over there to change the station, it's not going to work for me. I need it. Either in the steering wheel or right, and so I can drive my passengers crazy.
Oh. Where's justice?
Huh?
Yes.
My car, fortunately.
I will listen to most ELO songs all the way from the beginning.
ELO.
I do. I like ELO. Am I dating myself? James Taylor? Kind of a singer-songwriter guy.
Oh, fuck, right now. Yeah, you're dating yourself. That's all right. Yeah. That's reality.
Oh, my kids hate
it. My son, is the other day, he's in my car, and he takes over the Bluetooth thing, and he's playing Pink Floyd.
Really?
I said, you like Pink Floyd? He's 17. You like Pink Floyd? Yeah. So I like Pink Floyd.
You got
that
in common.
Pink Floyd.
You got that in common.
Yeah, so I said, let's rent the wall sometime.
The
wall.
You can't do that.
That's what my wife said. You can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that?
It's creepy. You can't watch
that movie?
No, the fact that you're going to watch...
he doesn't really want to watch that with me, I'm sure.
That's my point. The whole thing is kind of creepy.
That movie was creepy.
No, the fact that you're listening to a 49-year-old man watching the Pink
Floyd,
The Wall.
I can't watch a movie with my son?
Not The Wall.
This is it's father-son bonding time.
You spend time with your son watching things like Full Metal Jacket.
Okay, yeah, that's Pulp Fiction.
Something socially redeemed.
Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. I don't remember what Full Metal Jacket was about. It's just being very violent. You must have watched it recently, years ago.
With my son.
Okay, good. Yeah, you watched when the kids
through.
Pat's kids were really little, most families would put on like Barney. Pat would put on Cops for the kids.
Oh, it's like a family reunion.
Son, I want to make sure you don't turn out like that guy.
Oh,
did you see what he did?
Why can't we get the chain link, Dad?
I'm joking, by the way. All right, let's take a call here. 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON. We're going to start here with Richard. Richard, you're live with Hanson McLean.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about income annuities. I understand that there's a new IRS ruling to encourage income annuities and allow one to defer money in their IRA up to about 25% from the required minimal distribution. I'd like a little information on that.
Well, any money used for an income annuity, if you go, regardless of your age, and you buy an income annuity, you're essentially giving up control of that principal, giving it to an insurance company. You no longer own that asset. So therefore, it's no longer part of an IRA. It wouldn't be subject to. You could do that with your whole entire retirement account balance. Are you talking about something different?
A different vehicle that the IRS is encouraged to understand that you can take up to 25% out of your IRA and shelter that from count that towards a required minimal distribution and not have to pay the tax.
You're talking about a longevity. You're talking about a longevity.
Qualified longevity annuity. Is that what you're talking about?
Qualified longevity annuity contract. Correct.
Is that what you're talking? Okay. So this is this is like longevity insurance that it doesn't pay immediate like most annuities would. it'll pay you age 85 or later. Is that what you're looking at?
Correct.
Okay, good. Yes.
And this is the first call we've ever received on this subject.
Yeah, although we did talk
about it a couple weeks ago.
A number of weeks ago, yeah.
Right. I think it's something totally new this year, and I just have heard glimpses of information about it. I've got a little more information lately.
How old are you now?
Well, I'm 67, and so I'm looking at, you know, trying to plan for the required minimal distribution. I have about $500,000 in my IRA, and so if I could take, you know, 25% of that and not have to pay taxes on it, let it sit, you know, for another, you know, 17 years or so, then that would be fine with me.
Yeah, so this is essentially, and the reason that this would work, and otherwise, typically you'd need to have, annuities would need to start paying out earlier, a qualified annuity, and any money that's in qualified retirement plans, IRAs, 401ks, et cetera, are subject to required minimum distributions. These longevity insurance contracts that typically pay out at age 85 or later, IRS, as you're stating, Richard, had just recently changed some of the rulings and said they'll allow someone to transfer up to 25% of their retirement plan balances, all combined retirement plan balances, to purchase a qualified long-term annuity contract payable at age 85, no more than 25%. But one of the benefits, of course, is that you don't have the required minimum distribution. But another benefit you really need to look at is you've got money guaranteed later in life, which is going to make sure that you never run out of
money. If you live to 85 or longer. What makes you think you need this?
Well, because I'm still working and I'm over a 50% tax bracket. And so, you know, if I was in a lower tax bracket, it might make sense to, you know, pay the taxes and take the money. But, you know, I'm paying something like 60% in taxes. And
I understand all that, but is that your family history? Do they live to be 100? Do they live to be 90?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. How much?
90 to 100.
Did you say you're 67 today, Richard?
Correct.
And you've got $500,000 in your IRA.
Correct.
And you're currently working, is that correct?
Correct. I intend to work till I drop.
Okay. I would look at this first from an investment standpoint. That's the most important thing, because at age 70 and a half, you're going to have to take out about 3%. To me, it's not the taxes in and of themselves that's going to make this a worthwhile investment.
It's the investment.
It's the investment.
And so the question is, what's the investment look like? That's the first question. And then what are the tax benefits or negative aspects of the taxes?
So you're talking about giving up control of your principal today for the next 18 years, right? Till age 85, right, for a guaranteed income stream at that time.
But you plan on working till the day you die.
But he may not.
Well, it's highly unlikely. Most people
get sick first, unfortunately, right? But I'd want to know, what is that rate of return between now and the time you reach age 85?
Do you know the answer?
I do not know the answer to that. No.
So that is so, and it's a pretty simple calculation. Right. So what you would do is you take your life expectancy at age 85 and you would figure out the net present value of the stream of payments and then do a net present value of those dollars back to the last for 18 years. That's the calculation I would do. An accountant could do it if you can't do it yourself, or a qualified financial advisor.
Or the insurance company themselves could tell you that.
They could tell you what that number is. That's the first thing I would question. I don't know how I feel about these longevity insurance policies. I don't know whether I would recommend one or not recommend one.
In this environment, well, we've never recommended one.
That's correct.
One of the things, Richard, this environment with
you're locking in a low, low, low interest rate for a long period of time.
You'd be locking in these low interest rates for the rest of your life.
I see.
So I would.
That's
spend
why we
less,
haven't gotten hot on them.
I would spend less time worrying about the tax ramifications. Actually, if I were you, I'd kick the can. You've got 3 years to decide. And if interest rates go up between now and then you make the decision the day before you take your required minimum distribution. So I'd just kick the can.
Okay.
Further down the road and wait. If the interest rate environment is such in 3 years that the return is decent, then you'd be more likely to actually pull the trigger.
Very well. That sounds like good advice. I'm just finding out about them, so I'm just...
It's good you're doing your research, and the reason we want to take your call is because a lot of other people aren't yet aware of me either, and I think we'll see more. I still question if we're going to see much adoption of these contracts. They've been around for a while, and there's just not a lot of people buying them. And the challenge is those that need it really can't afford it, and those that have tons of assets don't need it. So that's, I mean, there's the kind of the catch 22 on it. But hey, appreciate your call, Richard, and wish you well. And thanks for being part of Hanson McClain's Money Matters. We're up against the clock. We'll take a quick break to kind of regroup. And why do we take breaks? Why do they call breaks? They're times to play commercials. We'll take a short time to play a commercial. We'll come back and take your calls. You're listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
Pat, did you write that little liner?
I haven't heard that for years. We used that liner years ago. Two guys, two brains, one head of hair. Although, I got to tell you, I was with my brother. I have a brother that's 3 years older than me. I think he's 55 now.
You've got like four brothers, don't you?
I have three brothers, but this was my oldest brother, and I was having dinner with him last Saturday, and I'm thinking, man, that guy is actually losing his hair and getting a little gray. He's 55. So I went home.
You're thinking, this is what you're thinking about your brothers. You're having
dinner.
A meal with your brother.
Oh, yeah, I'm very critical of my family. So I'm thinking, man, you are...
Being critical?
Realistic. So I didn't say anything out loud because I've been raised better, but I was waiting to...
It's your brother.
I was waiting to share it with everyone that I don't know on the radio. So I got home that night, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm doing the thing that, like...
Do not tell me you're losing your hair, Pat.
Like old guys do?
Do not tell me you're losing your hair.
I'm losing my hair.
You're not losing your
hair. Look at my forehead. It's receding.
Are you kidding me? You expect me to have some sympathy
for
you?
Well, actually, you've been bald since you were like eight.
I mean, my forehead never ends. So.
Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of dinner conversation, my dinner guest last night called me tiny.
No, he didn't.
my daughter's friend. Well, you're tiny.
Was she a big lady?
No, I'm tiny. I've been called a lot of things, a little guy.
But this is a 19-year-old girl?
Yeah.
She called you tiny.
She said, you're tiny. You know, I'm a short guy. Compact, I like to think.
But she called you tiny. That's hilarious.
That's what I thought.
Did you just stare at her?
I did, actually. I thought, I like it. She's a nice kid, and I'm glad she feels comfortable with the family, that she can state what's on her mind.
Obviously.
Jessica's dad's tiny. So I got that going for me. Anyway, this is a finance program. We're going to get right back to it. 888-2-HANSON to be part of the program. Let's talk to Jim in Folsom. Jim, you're with Hanson McClain.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Jim.
I like your show and always wanted to call in and had an opportunity this morning. So my question is, I have a daughter who's getting ready to go off to Sonoma State University.
Oh, good.
My wife and I are both gainfully employed. We both have 401ks, 457s. I'm part of the CalPERS system.
Okay.
We've been actually funding retirement accounts. But we unfortunately didn't take advantage. We took advantage of 529, but we didn't increase our contributions as they were increasing the school tuition. So we're finding ourselves short. So,
and how much money do you have in the 529 plans?
We have about $26,000, which is pretty much about good enough for 1 year if she has a residence.
Right. And how many children do you have?
Fortunately, I only have the one.
Okay. All right. So your question for us is...
And both you and your wife, you'll both have pensions?
We both have... yes, I have. I'm part of CalPERS. She has a pension through her work, and then we both have 457, 451 that are funded as well.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So my question is... You know, what's the best way? We're going to take advantage of the FAFSA loan. So there's unsubsidized loans, or subsidized loans that we can take that are basically interest free. We're going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Use the money for the 4 years and then pay it off at the end, hopefully. but should we decrease the funding of our 401ks right now and use that money?
What percentage of your salary is going to be made up through your pensions at retirement, ballpark? Do you know?
If I make it all the way to retirement age, probably about 75 to 80% of our total salary. And that doesn't include Social Security. That's just pension.
And what percentage of your pay are you putting into your 401ks or 457s?
About 7.5 to 8%, both of us.
And how much do you have saved for retirement in those employer-sponsored plans, ballpark, between the two of you?
Ballpark between the two of us, about 320, something like that, 320,000.
And how old are you?
I turn 50 next month.
Yeah, fund it out of pocket. Fund the college education out of pocket. Lower the contributions to your 401ks and 457s, and don't worry about it.
You know, it's funny. I wouldn't say this to a lot of people.
You're fine.
If you didn't have pensions... then I would have concern.
Yeah, but you do, and it makes up 80%. Right now, you're putting 7.5% in, which means that you're actually living on 92% of your income. And you've got a substantial amount of money saved in your 401ks, and you're 50, and you only have one child. So
you're making it sound very rosy.
No, it's not a hard decision. So lower your contributions to your 457, 401ks, or 403bs, whatever they may be, and pay for that out of pay for the funding of the education out of pocket.
And I would, if you take out those subsidized loans,
and that's what I'm questioning whether you should do it at all.
Okay.
Because concern is suddenly they become due, and you don't have the cash set aside somewhere, and then you got to find a way to pay it off.
Yeah,
We're pretty good. We're pretty good savers, and whenever I get an opportunity, I love to use that money, especially if it's interest free. I don't like paying interest unless it's a mortgage or maybe a car payment. So I'm a pretty good saver. If I'm going to borrow money, I will fund that.
I don't know.
But where are you going to fund it?
Yeah, you're going to take the money out of your.
You're going to put it in a savings account.
Yeah.
And earn 0.5%.
Yeah, true. I am.
I would try to stay away from any loans.
If it were a few years ago, and you could get a 3% or 4% at the bank, I'd say brilliant. This is exactly what you should be doing. But right now, you're going to earn nothing on your savings, and you're not going to want to take these dollars and put them at risk when you've got a loan coming due as soon as she graduates from college in 3.5 years, that she's going to get out in 3.5 years, right?
And
that's optimistic.
4 years, 4.5 years, 5 years, whatever the number is.
Yeah, we're hoping for.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, that's right.
Yeah.
And they hope they're going to get a job when they graduate. And you do, too.
Exactly.
No, I think I'd stay away from the loans.
I think I would, too.
I would just fund it out of pocket and obviously watch expenses. And you know, Sonoma State, beautiful out there in Santa Rosa. Gorgeous. Gorgeous place.
Yeah, we're looking forward to visiting here and having a little wine country.
It's beautiful. Beautiful place. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call.
Congrats, your daughter's heading to Sonoma State and all that kind of stuff. It is a nice area over there.
It is. It is.
Out loud. Every time I go.
I have a lot of clients there. I actually stay in Santa Rosa a couple times a year. I have clients.
Every time I'm over that
all
area,
over
I'm,
the
I
Santa
think,
Rosa.
Why don't I live in this part of the country? Beautiful. Maybe because all my family and friends are in El Dorado Hills. It is nice over there.
It's not. Oh, yeah. Most places in California are pretty nice.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk to Sahil. Sahil, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi there. Good morning. I was just listening to your show, and I decided to give a call in. I am at a point in my life where I'm 37 years old, and I work as a dentist, and I basically have been paying off a lot of my debts, and I'm at that threshold where I'm trying to figure out what will be some smart investment strategies for the future. Most of my money is basically in my savings, and you know, I have a Roth IRA. I thought that would make more sense since I could pay, you know, taxes now, and when I take the money out, I won't have to pay taxes. Most cases, the tax rate years from now is probably going to be higher. And except for that, you know, I really don't have any other investments. And at this point, I'm thinking whether I should invest and pick up maybe some rental property or try and just kind of keep paying the debts I have on my school loans and things like that.
Well,
I thought I'd give you guys a call and see.
Yeah, the investment you do have is the many years you took to become a dentist, quite frankly.
Which is a great investment.
And what we often tell people is, look, your best investment is in your own career, whether that's you're in business, it's having a business, or your profession, like dentistry. I mean, it is in your career. If you look at the, for example, pick up Forbes 400 list or whatever the list of the wealthiest people in the world, very few of those people made money just off investments. Almost all of them, unless they were lucky enough to inherit it, it was through their profession, right? And it's the same thing with other folks as well. It's through your profession. So when you say you don't have much saved, I'd say, yeah, you actually do. It just happens
so,
to be in your
labor. So I think that what you should look at, how old are you?
37.
No, I'm 37.
I think you should buy a, do you have a disability policy?
I do. I do. I have a disability policy, and I do have an insurance, a death insurance or life insurance
okay.
policy also that pays out to my parents.
And how many employees do you have?
We have about 37 employees. I'm one of, you know, four partners. I own my own business. I'm one of the actual owners of the business. We all are 25% shareholders in our business.
And do you have a 401k at your company?
We do. We have a 401k that is actually distributed through John Hancock, and we offer that for our employees as well.
And you don't contribute to it?
I do. I do contribute the max each year.
Oh, you do?
Okay,
because you didn't say
perfect,
that.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I have been for the last couple of years. So I have that as a investment there, or a, I guess a retirement strategy there. And then, you know, what I'm not doing is, you know, whatever I'm saving, I just kind of keep it in a savings account. And I've been thinking about possibly investing that in something. And I wasn't too sure. I know my parents in the past have done things with the Vanguard Fund, and you know, I didn't know if I should go the route of investing it into some sort of a stock portfolio, investing it in real estate, you know, because all of this is fairly new for
yeah.
me. So,
well, so you, the thing you've got going for you, you've got a long time ahead of you to let investments work for you. You mentioned one thing, you mentioned some rentals. If you were my brother, I'd say don't bother with that. Focus on your career. That's just going to suck time off and energy. Your time and energy, if you're going to put on some sort of investment, have it in what you're good at. That would be my opinion on that. And at saving some on the outside, I would just look at like a total stock market index fund. You're 37. You've got 25 yeah. years or whatever to
tons,
let it grow.
Tons of time.
And then that's passive. You don't have to.
And I would make a contribution to a non-qualified IRA and then convert it to a Roth if you don't qualify for a Roth contribution.
He said he contributed to Roth.
I do. I have a Roth because I figured that I could, I pay the tax okay. now, and when I get the money yep. out, I don't have to pay tax.
And I agree with Scott. I would
so
use
if you're
a
maximizing
total
your 401k, I would look at a total stock market. I own one. They're very tax efficient, and the tax treatment, I think, is quite favorable. It's the way capital gains tax works long term. So that's the route I'd look at for the next step. And it sounds like you got your ducks in a row, and you've got some disability insurance, and you got some life insurance.
And I think you should actually seek out a good investment advisor because over the long term, you're gonna be a wealthy man.
Yeah. Well, this music means that we are out of time. We are here every weekend where we broadcast Hanson McClain's Money Matters. But you can also get a podcast of this program, moneymatters.com. While you're at Money Matters, you'll find there's lots of great tools and stuff in our library there to find topics that can be a benefit to you. So we'll see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. This has been Hanson McClain.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.